This is Merlone, Fourier, and Mego.
Couple of celebrities at Game 4. We saw Gucci Mane. We saw Nia Long.
I believe the Celtics are 5-1 in the 6 games Gucci Mane has been there. And do they win when Gucci Mane's in the
Hey, guys, Gucci Mane's in here. Forget about our statement jersey or our icon jersey. It's Gucci Mane.
The Celtics are one win away from a trip to the finals, even if some people don't want you talking about it.
Don't look past them. Don't believe you guys say on TV that, you know, we're going to championship. Going to Friday like we down 3-2.
It's going to be rocking here in Boston and in the city. It's a closeout game, so that means we got to say it. You can do it! You can do it!
We sort through what ended up being, to put it nicely, an interesting Game 5.
What was the difference in your mind from first half Jaylen to what we saw in the second half?
Jaylen Brown with the finish!
Wow! You didn't turn it over.
Christian Fourier.
I'm a steroid-infused freaking wannabe Hall of Famer. Come on.
Save that.
Megan Ottolini.
To make you kind of move it side to side.
I was going
to
say uncomfortable.
Sitting in for Lou, it's Mike Mutnanski.
I like working with you, but you're sort of narrow-minded. Like, I'm more of a 30,000-foot guy. I'm bigger picture.
Galaxy
brain. Outside the box. Yeah. Galaxy brain. Thank you.
Merlone, Fourier, and Mego. Look at Celtics Heat Game 5 on Boston Sports Original.
Is this Gucci Man?
W-E-E-I.
All right, working through some stuff here in studio.
Oh, we're done. We're good.
Okay.
Yes.
Moving on.
Sports.
See,
sports.
You got an hour, Mego. Sports. You can make it. Listen, all I'm saying is that we found another moth. I killed this second moth, okay,
which was
bigger and stronger than the one that Ryan killed, okay? So I feel like that should be it. But there is a saying about moths, where there's one, there's many.
I'm just going to try to move forward.
Uh-oh, what's Mutt doing?
What are you doing, Mutt? Oh, I thought you were getting up to kill another moth.
No, he's giving you the clicker.
Okay, please
thingy.
Don't do that to me.
Okay. I don't know if you should. I feel like she shouldn't drive.
Why?
Because she's like.
That's pretty sexist.
That is a good point, Ryan. Tyler.
Have all these Celtics calls up there. People are excited about the win last night.
Well,
the Celtics
are
going to the NBA Finals. You'd celebrate.
Get right
Screw
into
them
it.
All. They're going to win.
3-2 over the Heat. They whooped ass last night. Latest update from the Boston Celtics. Marcus Smart and Rob Williams are both questionable with the same injuries that they've been battling. Right ankle sprain, left knee soreness with Robert Williams. It's freaking me out how you're looking to the right. Please don't look around.
That's what I'm saying. She can't drive. You got to take the wheel.
Focus here.
Just look at me.
I do not think she should drive. I'm just on record saying I don't care if it's sexist. Okay. I don't think she should drive now. I don't think she's capable of doing it right now. She's too preoccupied with this stupid moth flying all over the stupid studio. Real quickly, though, just to kind of take your attention off that, look at me.
Yes.
Look at me.
Eye contact.
Well, did anyone see that the reason why Grant Williams started in third quarter? Did anyone know why? Did anyone see why he started? Nobody knows?
I know why.
I know what you're getting at.
Is it a surprise for the people?
No.
Lloyd wasn't back out on the floor yet.
Yep.
Do you know why?
Rob Williams was delayed getting back out to the floor.
He was in the bathroom.
Okay. Ime Udoka said that wasn't true.
Oh, really? Oh, so that was... Oh, okay. So I saw Grant
was talking to Abby Chin from NBC Sports Boston, and he said that.
Grant, you started the third quarter in place of Rob. Was that by design?
No. He was in the bathroom, I think. So I had to say I'm good to go. Throw me in there. And we started off the quarter right, so Ime Udoka will fit, and then Rob came back in, and I think 7-minute mark, 6-minute mark. So just there to have his back.
Oh, okay.
It worked out. They doubled up the Heat 32-16, went on to blow out. I'll start Grant in the third quarter from now on.
Okay.
I thought that was just a way of just managing his minutes.
Fine with me.
Were you surprised that he
managing
was
managing his minutes? He played 27 minutes.
No, I thought they were just going to, like, in the third quarter, I thought they were going to, okay, listen, let's really, okay, we got through the first half, let's protect him. That's all.
I thought it was, hey, if you can only play, you have 25 minutes for him in the total game? If you can only play 25, let's hold off some for what might be a very important third and fourth quarter. Down by 5 points. Grant provides a little more offense. I thought that was a smart move by Ime in that spot.
Don't you want to come out of the start of the third quarter with the strongest stuff you got?
They needed offense at that point. Okay. And I think Grant provides more offense than Robert Williams does. And eventually, Williams came back and ended up working out, no matter what the reason was. And I thought it was a good sign for Robert. I mean, good signs all around for the Celtics last night. And Robert Williams playing 26, almost 27 minutes. The points were important, but 10 rebounds and defensively had an impact on the game from the beginning and played hurt. The dude's finally playing hurt. I give him credit for that. He's learning how to manage this stuff. If he can give you that type of effort, they're going to win on Friday, and he's going to be a major impact against the Warriors in the finals.
There's so many things. Obviously, first of all, the Heat are done. right? They're just, forget about, like, you know, the fact that.
I think they are, right?
Well, they're just physically done. I think they're cooked. I think they've run out of gas. Excuse me. And I know they can't shoot. I mean, they give some credit, obvious, a lot of credit to the Celtics. And when you look at some of the horrific shooting by them, and I just saw this, we had this earlier, that for the Heat, the three worst shooting games this season all came against the Boston Celtics. That's crazy. I mean, this is the best three-point shooting team in the NBA, and their three worst shooting performances came in Game 5, when they shot 31.9%, a Game 4 of this series, 33.3%, and the first one was way back in November. So I know they're shooting bad, but a lot of it has to do with the Celtics and their ability just to close out guys and their desire just to put a little bit more effort while they're playing defense as opposed to the Heat.
Mego brought this up earlier. It also has to do with the coach, who's a good coach, not having a shooter on yesterday. So they shot 7 of 45 from 3, second lowest 3-point percentage, as you said, in NBA playoff history, 40 or more attempts. This guy decided, yeah, we don't need to shoot around the day of game. That had to be a factor in that game last night. They were awful offensively.
It was really, really, really bad to the point where sometimes I was like getting mad at the Celtics for missing out on offensive rebound opportunities. Defensive rebound opportunities. But the ball was coming off the backboard like a rocket ship. Or they would
clank,
just. Yeah.
Clank,
long rebounds, tough rebounds to catch because the speed was so fast. Or they would just miss the rim completely. It's like, I want to give somebody a souvenir in the front row. Let me just miss the rim. Hi, I'm Kyle Lowry. Like, blame it on my little pterodactyl arms.
Oh, you attack him so much. But to that point, I hated the way that the Celtics played early on the boards. I thought that they were so lackadaisical. They were sitting and waiting for the game to come to them. And the smartest adjustments that Ime made, I thought, came in the third quarter. And I wrote about this for WEI.com, where he infused the lineup with that Al Horford, Rob Williams double big lineup specialty that he can only do as a luxury because of the health issues with both those guys. And I wouldn't say Al Horford is a health issue as much as he's close to 36 and they're playing him up to 40 points a game. But when they have those two guys on the floor, Miami just has no physical answer for them. They completely neutralize Adebayo, and then it's like, okay, I dare you to shoot over Rob Williams. Like,
no.
The disrespect that he had for anyone who was daring to shoot over him with three blocks. Some of those blocks, like, it looked like stuff from, that would be painted on, what is it, the Sistine Chapel? That's the famous one with, like, touching God, man touches
sure.
God.
Sure, Michelangelo, Sistine Chapel, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
oh,
the freeze frames of them. Like, it is, the stuff that Rob Williams is able to do, you have this double impact of Rob Williams in, like, just freakish athleticism and what he's able to do defensively and on the boards and with the lobs. Then you have the other big in Al Horford, who just brings this emotional and leadership component. And that's not to take away from the stuff that he can do.
You mean the release valve.
That's what Jaylen Brown called him.
The release, because that was in your article also that you wrote for WEI, which you can find now if you go there and check it out. But listen, those two guys are obviously very important. You know, Al on a breakaway I thought was just fantastic. The watching, like, when you see a guy who's like 36 years old, like, sprinting down with all these young guys, I can understand how they look up to him. I can understand how he may not say a word, and they just kind of, you know, they just pattern themselves off his play and the energy and his willingness to kind of just do whatever it takes, because there is a lot of jealousy and me first that goes into this, and he just has none of it, right? Because he's in the perfect stage of his life. Like, I've made all the money. I've won national championships in college. I played at a bunch of teams. I've been disrespected when I was with Oklahoma City. They didn't even play me. I just want, and this will be his first opportunity to play in a finals.
There's a little bit of James Posey to him.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. That
There's
is a
little
call.
Bit of James Posey, and where his abilities are, they're good, but his leadership and the veteran part of it and some of the clutch stuff we're seeing from him is now making a bigger impact as the playoffs went on. Posey was more impactful as that 08 year went on. You're seeing the same thing now with Al Horford. And you saw that with the play last night. I actually forget what the play was that set this up, but when he went to the bench and got, like, that whole team high
Everybody
five,
was grabbing
what was
him.
The play? Did he hit a three? Or was he fouled? Yeah, I forget. But he ran to the bench, and the whole team rallied around him. Like, he was that team mascot. There's that one kid in Little League the whole team loves and rallies around.
It's usually the worst player, though.
That is Al Horford.
No, it's
usually the worst player. It's like, oh,
he's the mascot.
Put your glove up, and we'll just hit it into your glove. It's like the guy from The Sandlot.
That is
put
so
your
rude.
Hand up.
But I think he deserves all the accolades he got last night. I do think it's a little crazy that there are people that want to consider him, like, the main reason why they're making this run. I saw there was a Boston Globe article, a post that suggested he should win the Eastern Conference MVP, which is just kind of dumb. Like, he's an important
player. He's a sentimental favorite, though. I mean, I can easily understand why.
Sentimental, but not real.
No, not real. No, absolutely not.
An emotional leader. Here's what Jaylen Brown, we keep talking about what he said post-game, so why don't we just hear it straight from the horse's mouth.
You know, Al is all-reliable. You know, Al does what he's been doing his whole career. You know, stepping up in big moments, making timely shots, rebounding, being a defensive stopper for us, and also being that release valve. So, you know, those two were definitely the story of the game tonight. You know, they kept us in it defensively. When our offense wasn't going, Al and Derek, they had it going.
Yeah, so as he said at the end there, he was also referencing Derek White, who you wanted to be the Derek White game.
Sure, I feel like everybody gets a name. I feel like, why not give it to him? Back-to-back games.
He's been great.
He made his first five shots, the only shots he missed, and he did do an unbelievable college. So let's not act like we should dismiss the fact that he went to the University of Colorado. Basketball powerhouse. Listen, if you were going to name this game, because everybody gets a freaking game named after him, what would you name this one?
I told you, the light switch game.
Why a light switch game?
The second half for Tatum and Horford, they combined for 37 points. 9 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 block, no steals, and they were 4 of 8, respectively, from 3. After being awful in the first half. Like, they did something that they wondered, could they have that type of effort when their back wasn't technically against the wall? You guys disagreed yesterday, but, and maybe you were right. It wasn't technically a must-win. They played that third quarter, 32-16, at Miami, where the fans were hiding during that halftime third quarter, like it was a must-win. And we wondered if they could do it. I'll give them credit for that. They flipped the switch. Light switch game, flip the switch game, halftime game, one of the above. It's not
the flip went switch.
The Derek White game?
I would call it the Jekyll Hyde Jaylen Brown game, because I thought you saw the best of him and the worst of him. The worst of him to begin, where he recorded 3 turnovers in the first quarter. He looked like he had absolutely no control of his body. He looked like he had no idea where he was or where anyone else was on the offensive side of the court. I actually think he had 4 turnovers.
One of them wasn't recorded as I was watching it.
And he only had 3 points, and then he takes off in the third quarter, and he leads them to a 10-0 run to close out the third quarter, seals it off in the fourth quarter, had 25 points to finish the night, no more turnovers. Mm. He turned into a catch-and-shoot guy. He looked awesome. He looked like a leader out there, but that is where you see, like, the highs and lows of Jaylen Brown, and you can see them all in just one game.
I would like to call this game, please stop dribbling, Jaylen Brown game. Please stop. The fact is that I do think he's a little delusional. And maybe, like, just the great players have to be a little delusional, because after the game, you know, like, so they go through the gauntlet of everybody. They talk to Ime, they talk to Tatum, they talk to Al, and, you know, then they get to Jaylen and they, you know, start talking about, like, the turnovers and what did Ime talk to you guys about? Because they had 10 turnovers in the first half and they only had 1 in the third quarter. And they asked Jaylen Brown, and here's what Jaylen Brown had to say.
Just play basketball. I mean, I think he was talking to the whole team. You know, I wasn't the only person to ask him. Some turnovers, but I mean, it is what it is. I'm gonna keep being aggressive. I'm gonna keep getting into the paint, making them stop me. You know, I just got to do a better job of finding the right guy, and hopefully, you know, next game, some of those hand checking calls, I'll get one. But I'm gonna keep being aggressive and keep getting into the paint.
Sorry, I didn't set this up the right way, because the question was specifically referencing a question that the reporters asked Ime about Jaylen turning the ball over. So when the reporter asked Jaylen about Ime talking about him turning the ball over, Jaylen said, I think he was talking to all of us. Like, no. We were actually all talking about you.
It was you.
No. Well, I don't really care, because, you know, I'm going to do it anyways.
It's like the whole team was in the room when he was saying
it. He was talking to all of us. I saw him.
It wasn't just me.
He didn't name me.
Guys, I think he was talking to the whole team.
No.
We got to stop turning. We got to stop throwing interceptions out there on offense. I don't think he's talking about the right guard.
He's talking to the tackle. Hey, you know, stop fumbling. Hey, guys, if we just stop fumbling at the one. What? Damien? I'm not talking to you, Damien. No, just stop fumbling at the one-yard line. Everybody's responsible for fumbling the ball, right? No, it's him. He's nutty that way. He ain't going
to
change.
To be fair, his buddy Jason Tatum did have 5 turnovers, so he had more turnovers to close out the game.
Is that before or after he got his shoulder fixed at halftime?
Yeah, because it looked like his arm was dangling, like it was out of its socket.
He did still turn the ball over 3 times in the second.
Well, we have game 6 tomorrow. We have a question that we threw out on our account. You can still chime in on this poll. It's at MFM on WEEI on Twitter. We're asking, assuming that this team is going to the finals, who do you give the most credit to, the majority share of the credit pie? That's between Ainge, Stevens, Udoka, and Tatum. Coming up next.
After, I think, Jalen's second or third turnover, you pulled him. It seemed like there was a conversation there. What did you tell him? Did you tell him to calm down? And what happened when he flipped the script in the second half?
Just the same thing. You know, the crowd is there. You're acting like you're surprised that they're reaching and poking it from behind. And it wasn't as much like live ball turnovers as trying to make a nice pass. It was literally getting taken from us. And so
he may have said he talked to you early in the game about the turnovers that you were having. What was that conversation?
Just play basketball. I mean, I think he was talking to the whole team. You know, I wasn't the only person that had some turnovers.
I love it. Well, he's not talking about me.
No. The whole team had turnovers.
Is he talking
guys?
To me?
Guys.
Hey, Al, is he talking to me?
Guys.
What?
Everyone turned the ball over.
He's picking on me, isn't he? Should I feel uncomfortable with this? Is that not comical to you?
Little sensitive.
Like the whole, you've been on those teams
little
where
sensitive.
The coach is like sending a message, but he doesn't want to call you out. Right in front of the whole team, embarrass you.
We all need to be better.
Yeah,
you know, some turnovers.
Merlone Fourier and Mego. We are talking Celtics for the rest of the show, joined by Mutt because Lou is out in Vegas. We're going to get to this poll question that we threw out there. If you want to weigh in, you still can on Twitter at MFM on WEEI. Who is most to credit? Who gets the most credit for this Celtics playoff run, assuming that they're going into the finals after this game 6? But first, we're going to take a couple of your calls. I'm going to go to John in the car. John, you're on.
Hey, everybody. What's going on?
What's up?
My favorite moment from last night was after that Jaylen Brown dunk when they showed Alonzo Mourning doing his best Weekend at Bernie's impression with I think that was Pat Riley.
Yes, it was.
I don't know if he was getting me to set him up or not. As an old Celtics fan, that really warmed my heart seeing Pat, just lifeless after that dunk. It was really fantastic.
Yeah.
I'd like to try to answer your poll question and name the game at the same time. I think I can wrap up both.
Make it quick.
Right, do it.
I think last night was a microcosm for the entire Celtics season, and it's the exact reason why you can't really point to one of the 4 that you guys have in the poll. I think it's just the blame pie in reverse scenario for all 4 of them. I mean, is what the Celtics season was. The first half was abysmal, but they still had a chance, you know, like giving themselves a fighting chance like they did in the beginning of the season. Defense was good. And then they turned it around. Ime, obviously, was his coaching expertise. Jalen turned it around and didn't turn the ball over, and JT got hot. I mean, that's clearly what has happened. And Derek White, I mean, an emergence from him as well. Those 3 things have been essentially what happened to turn the season around. So I think it's the microcosm of the season, and just all 4 get kind of, what, 25? I can't do math.
No, John, I well said. I not thought about that. And again, I thought they were lucky to only be down 5 there at halftime. They really played poorly. Jalen played poorly. Tatum couldn't shoot the ball. You call the Derek White game? I'll give you a half of that. The Derek White half. His 11 points kept them in that game there at halftime, and that allowed them to propel back in the second half. It's a good call.
And you say that they were lucky to be only down 5. How often have we said that in these playoffs with this team? I feel like I've said that so many times. Like, this team is playing so poorly, I can't believe the game is this close, or I can't believe the game is tied, you know? Because what is that? What do you want, Christian? What is that? You're sending me like an okay.
This is radio nonverbal communication.
I don't know what that
means. This is not okay.
What
this
is that?
Okay. You know what this means?
No.
White power.
Oh my God, Christian, what are you throwing up in our studio?
What do you think? If I say, if we were talking, I go, what would I, if I did this to you?
I have no idea what that means.
Three beers? You want to order three?
Forget it, both round of you. Three? Go to number three. Caller number
three. All
right,
Charlie, you're on. Charlie, hello.
All right. I think it's somebody not on the list, and I think it's honestly Whit Grosbeck for putting the right people in the right places. After the last two seasons, it was a mess, and I think he and Brad sat down and were like, how do we fix this? And I think Brad had some fantastic ideas, but I think Wick realized he's no longer getting to the players, right? So he's like, we're going to take Brad, move him into the idea spot at the GM, and then we bring in Ime, who can get through to the players. But I think Brad Stevens' two pickups, which were massive, was Derek White and Al Horford. And I think that also showed that Brad didn't agree with all of Danny Ainge's moves, right? So drafter Danny was great. But Brad Stevens bringing them back, like especially Al Horford, because what they were missing the last 2 years was good veteran leadership. They had this fake veteran leadership from Marcus Smart, but bringing Al Horford back was honestly massive for leadership and just bringing everybody together.
So what about Wick? I feel like
I didn't even think about it.
I mean, to be honest, neither did I, but he's giving him a lot
maybe
of credit.
That's not
so
fair.
So I'm really in control. So what I did is I, in the shadows, I got rid of Danny and made sure he was still welcome to come into the garden. Yep. So everybody still loved him. I acted like this was an accident that Brad just happened to want to stop coaching and then go become a front office guy. And then listen and let the players think that they had some say in hiring Ime Udoka. But in the end, I really did it. Is that the whole story?
I think that's giving a lot of credit to Wick.
Ownership is
somewhere. He's somewhere on the list. He would not be in my top four.
Let's get to this one. We're going to get to the poll and a question in a second, but let's take Jimmy in Malden. Jimmy, you're on.
I got last night, Time Lord. I thought I was transported by Time Lord from his TARDIS back to the mid-90s, the way that scoring was last night.
All right. Well,
hey, excellent point. Low scoring. One of the quarters was the third quarter. I can't remember what it was.
32-16.
So in the first quarter.
The first quarter was 19-17.
But the first game of the third quarter was that the Heat went on that 38-14 run.
Yep.
And then what was it? The game three in the first quarter was at 38-18 or something like that. So they score. What did the Celtics ended up scoring? Like third, what was the second half score? See, I'm losing all my notes.
What's your point, Christian?
42-37. The point is that, like, they were able to score 38 points. The Heat were scored 38 points in a quarter, and they could only muster 37 points in an entire half.
Oh, there you go.
Okay. Just how
you landed.
It took me a while to get there.
Landed that plane, baby.
Did you hear this? Yeah, I just thought they're so. Listen, Jimmy is done. Jimmy has no soul. Jimmy has no shot.
Oh, go,
Jimmy
no. Stop.
Jimmy is Dunsky.
Okay, he's hurt.
He's doing a reverse jinx.
He loves Jimmy Butler.
He's doing a reverse jinx.
Does he look like he's a soul of the team? It looks like he has no soul. Look like somebody took his soul.
Okay, you're such a victim of whatever just happened.
No, he's beat up by now. I feel bad for him. I love Jimmy Butler, but he's just.
You said he had no soul.
He doesn't have it. He doesn't have it right now. You can see he won't shoot the ball. And even when he does go to his patented. Mid-range jumper, even with the pump fake that was so good in the first two games, he doesn't have it. So the Celtics, credit them. Listen, they're taking advantage of the situation, a beat-up team that has no life and that is fighting their ass off. Can you imagine what this Heat team would look like if they didn't play defense, if they didn't have Heat culture?
If they didn't play defense,
they're very well coached. Well, how about Spoelstra? We give him a lot of credit for this, right? You said off the air, we may talk about this more tomorrow. There's a little bit of a Patriot vibe to the Miami Heat. The Patriots had Brady. So I'm asking you to not look at the most recent Patriot teams, but those Patriot teams under young Tom Brady, when Brady was not the best quarterback in the NFL. There's a little bit of that all for one, one for all. We've got a system in place that is going to prop everybody up. Again, before Brady became the real Tom Brady, they got something there, man. And I even if they lose the series, which they're going to, they feel like as long as Spoelstra's there, they're going to have guys that buy in. Hell, Joel Embiid is openly tweeting it on Instagram last night saying, I want to go join the Heat. And Jimmy Butler's recruiting him. Like, they're not going anywhere.
Did he say you're not about that life? Did he say that?
No, he said, Jimmy Butler said a couple months ago, I guess, it was a place where villains go and get rooted. And Embiid's like, I know all about that.
Hey, Bob, shut up.
So we put this poll out at MFM on WEEI on Twitter if you want to weigh in. It's been up for an hour. It has over 800 votes.
Nice.
Who gets the most credit for the Celtics playoff run? We're all assuming they're going to go to the finals at this point.
Yes, yes.
So your choices are Jason Tatum, Ime Udoka, Brad Stevens, Danny Ainge. We all agreed in studio here. Ime Udoka is our choice. Well, the followers agree with us because he has 58% of the votes. He is running away with it. He was snubbed for Coach of the Year. I don't think he was even in the top three finalists, but it looks like he's at least getting a little love locally. Let's go to Max in Chelsea. Max, you're on.
Yo, Max.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're on, buddy. What's up?
Got to give it to Ime. Let me tell you something. The beginning of this season to now has been a roller coaster, and I've been locked in riding the whole time. Let me tell you, Ime came in and took a team that had no spine. We didn't know who we were as a team. There were talks of us being saying that our potential is really just 7th, 8th seed. We weren't even in playoff talks. I had a few people saying we weren't even going to make the playoffs. He came in this year, and he implemented a system.
All right, thank you, Max.
When January rolled around, everything changed. He implemented a system in less than a year. And no matter what it is, we take a punch, he has a counter punch.
Thanks,
well,
Max.
Well, I agree. Listen,
It's something, man.
He does have a really
They were lifeless for half the year.
You could say he was just, you know, feeling it out. Getting his first date, a couple of guys, let's not just jump right into bed. Let's kind of date a little bit. You know, let's just figure each other out. And he did do a phenomenal job. And you can go through the roster for every single player, and you can really see the difference he has made on every single player except Jalen Brown. That's the only one he has. He's just not listening. Jalen Brown is not listening. Hey, Jalen, listen.
He's talking to everybody else.
Yeah, Jalen. Yeah, he should probably call him by name. Like, hey, Jalen, stop attacking the rim when there's like 20 million people in the middle of and you have no success. We're going to put you on screens. You just catch and shoot.
I think he was talking to the whole team.
I remember, Mego, you and I did a couple segments or shows about Jason Tatum caring too much about the outside noise, right? Remember, he responded to Perk. He asked a media member, about his passing. I'm glad you asked that. I'm a good passer. Like on podcasts early in the year, he's still responding to people. And I think Ime gets a lot of credit for the maturity of Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum's play is also pretty ridiculous. So our buddy Barrett had this a little while ago on Twitter. I'm sure he's going to talk about it at 7 o'clock. 23-year-old playoff seasons for Jason Tatum and Kobe respectively. Tatum, 26.9 points. Kobe, 26.6. 6 assists for Tatum per game, 4.6 for Kobe. 6.3 rebounds for Tatum, 5.8 for Kobe, 7.8 free throw attempts, 7.6 for Kobe. He's outscoring, out-assisting, out-rebounding, out-free throw attempting, one of the greatest players ever. At the same age, Kobe was basically doing the same exact stuff. That's a wild comparison. He wants to be compared to Kobe, second fastest ever to 1,500 playoff points. And basically, as Barrett points out, he's playing like Kobe in these playoffs. A lot of that is Ime and unlocking that player to focus on what's in front of him versus the outside noise.
The other part of it is, you know, he reportedly got him to stop dabbing up the other guys on the other teams, acting like they're his older brothers. And it's fine to do that. Just don't do it on the court, you know, like don't be throwing them all their bouquets on the floor. But one thing that I want to say about Udoka was if he wins the finals this year, it's not like it's unprecedented. So like Nick Nurse won with the Raptors in 2019. Steve Kerr won with the Warriors in 2015. That was both their first years. Rick Carlisle in 2011. It's not like this hasn't happened before. But I do think what is unprecedented is if you go back to where this team was, like that last caller just said, in December and January, where it was like, you know, they couldn't tell their butt from their elbow. So the complete turnaround, I think, is something that started back in training camp, but it took a couple months. Like Jalen Brown and Jason Tatum, they knew him and Marcus Smart from playing on the circuit mm-hmm. with him outside of the NBA. But the rest of these guys, like, it takes a little time to break bad habits and then implement a new system. And I think that's what it took. Okay, you want to go to House? Let's get House in Dorchester. House, you're on.
Oh, hey, how y'all doing?
What's up, House?
As far as the poll question, I want to give it to I want to give E-May 40, Brad 35, and Danny 15. But percentage of
where's Tatum? No percentage.
Wow.
No percentages.
Tatum.
It's either one. It's got to have a first place. We're not doing the success pie. Okay, you got one or the other.
Okay, I'll give it to E-May. No, the reason why I won't give it to Tatum, I won't give it to a player because the player doesn't make the decisions of who comes in to play. They may have a say-so, but they don't make the decisions. So I'm going to give it to E-May because E-May, I believe, told Brad to go get Derek White, which was a trade that I know Danny Ainge probably would have never done. He probably would have tried to choke him out of every player they had to get him. So I know that wouldn't have happened. So that's why I did the percentages. But Jaylen Brown, how many years he been in the league? About five, right?
Six.
Michael Jordan, his first five years, I'm not comparing the two. I'm just saying, in his first 5 years, he averaged four turnovers a game. Jaylen Brown is going to be all right. I just think right now he's nervous. The wrong time to be nervous, but I think he's nervous. He's feeling jitters because it only happens like in the very first
quarter,
like quarters or something. It seems like they're counting his dribbles.
All right, appreciate you, House. Great call. To the Jaylen point, it's like I'm sorry, that was a different league. You know, the late 80s, early 90s when he came in. The way that these guys are trained coming up through the AAU system, the college ball system going in, if his handle is like this now, I'm not sure, unless he makes some really drastic changes, maybe he should go work with Drew Hanlon, with Tatum's footwork and ball handling coach, who works with Joel Embiid and other guys in the league. Like, maybe it will just take some dedication in the offseason, but something's going on there because it looks worse than it looked 2 years ago.
But you'd also agree it's not just the dribbling, it's the decision-making.
It's the court vision.
It's right in front of him, and he still dribbles right into the player. Like, is that great story about when Darko came over, he was doing workouts against, like, chairs. Like, it's like Jaylen Brown's running into those chairs. He sees the defenders, and it's just repetitive. Over and over and over again.
Let me go over the rules again. The key is to avoid the chairs.
Get him the Glenn on Round Ball video series where Glenn explains how to play basketball. Oh, is that Red Auerbach? I forget. One of the two.
I'm sure Glenn attempted to do some sort of video like that.
I'm sure he did.
I will say for the second place in this poll, between Tatum and Ainge, it's surprisingly close. It's 19 to 15%. That is closer than I would have expected it from fans. I would have thought that Danny Ainge was more on the outs. I guess it just shows you the education.
Are they viewing
level.
Ainge as the guy who drafted Tatum and Brown? I mean, there's credit for that. Because I have him third or fourth.
I have him second.
We haven't had one caller say Tatum number one. Tatum should really be like an easy number one if you're going to put so much pressure on him, if you're going to hope that he advances to becoming a superstar, which was that everybody talks about after every single game and during every single series. He's basically given everybody what they want. Not even what they want, what they demand. Hey, and I'd be one of them.
Be a top five player.
Listen. If you want to have that kind of crown on your head, well, this is what's expected of you. He's really kind of stepped up every single time. Even yesterday didn't shoot well at all. Last night didn't shoot well at all, but he impacted the game in several different ways.
Terrific in getting other guys involved. Well, the rebounding, obviously, but the passing, and Van Gundy is really good, and he pointed out over and over again the passing game early on was huge for Tatum, no doubt.
We're going to continue this discussion. Who do you think should get the most credit for the Celtics playoff run? Tatum, Udoka, Stevens, or Ainge? We got a massive game 6 coming up tomorrow. We're going to be at Lord Hobo in the Seaport.
Woo!
So come on down and say hi to us. We'll be right back.
Real quickly, just a quick Lou Maloney update.
Oh, here we go.
Okay.
Squirrel.
I just happened to kind of check this Instagram account that I'm part of. And, you know, Lou brought his wife out to Vegas for her 50th birthday. Yes, I'm calling.
30th birthday.
She's 50. She's old.
Idiot.
Like
Stop 30th. She's old. That.
30th. Life is over.
Don't shut up.
It's all downhill from here.
God, he's going to punch you in the face.
They ordered this big-ass meal. Cake. Pasta, appetizers, beautiful spread.
Sounds good.
Guess where Lou was?
I don't know.
Passed out asleep.
Wow. He went too hard during the day?
He got burnt.
What time was it at?
It was on. I was just looking at it. I got to show you. It's freaking hilarious.
Is it just now?
She opens the door. She's like, oh, look at what a romantic evening. And there's Lou. Passed out on the bed.
That should be the first segment Tuesday.
Yep.
I want to hear the story about that.
Why'd you pass out at your romantic dinner with your wife? All right, sorry. That's
cocktails hit hard in Vegas.
Just a little
deep-ish.
It's just a little early nap, so we can go later tonight.
Nap and rally. Nap and rally.
You need a midday nap, yeah.
Game 6 versus Miami tomorrow. Marcus Smart still questionable with the right ankle sprain. Rob Williams also questionable with the left knee soreness. So same stuff that they've been dealing with through the second half of this series. But we still think here in this studio that they have basically punched their ticket to the finals. Yeah. I don't think this goes 7.
I don't even think tomorrow's going to be competitive. I know the caller earlier said to stop making predictions, but based on what we saw last night, and if you mentioned a couple times, Christian, not only are they offensively challenged, like they're just beat to hell right now. I think it was Ryan McDonough said it with us yesterday. It's a war of attrition between these two teams, and the Celtics are healthier. They're better. They're healthier. They're home tomorrow night. They showed a killer instinct. We have not seen much of this team in the second half last night to close that thing out. Like, yeah, I think the reason why Vegas has as a 9-point favorite the Celtics tomorrow is because they feel like I do. There's a good chance the Heat, they show up, you know, mentally, but maybe physically not there. And I can see this being very similar to Game 7 against the Bucks, 20-point Celtics.
You named it. I was just going to say it. It's like you start off with good intentions, a lot of encouragement, a lot of motivation. You're trying to convince yourself that you got a chance. And then, you know, then it's up to the Celtics to remove that optimism, like remove their ability to believe they actually have a chance.
Break their souls.
And I think they got it in them. I think they do. And again, I don't think they're going to be feeling any better in 48 hours.
Can I ask you something? And I don't mean this in any kind of trolling way.
Uh-oh.
Are you concerned about Jason Tatum's shoulder?
No.
About the health there?
Absolutely zero. So you heard at halftime. So he gets another stinger, burner, whatever, neck impingement. His arm's dangling like it's knocked out of the socket. He doesn't get treatment at halftime. So it just, those things, they're a pain in the ass for like, I don't know, 5 minutes. You know, and haven't you ever like banged your elbow, like your funny bone, and like your whole hand went numb?
Yeah,
have you ever done that?
It's pins and needles. It's painful.
Yeah, but then, you know, you just kind of move your hand and it goes away. I feel like that's what he's going through more than ever. Is that what that would be? You're doing it now.
Yeah,
did you hit your funny bone?
Still more concerned about Marcus Smart's ankle, Robert Williams playing through pain. Those things are above Tatum because Tatum showed it there in that second half. Like he came out, shot the ball a lot better. Was a playmaker before that, like a different dynamic. So, no, and that's why win tomorrow and get a couple extra days rest. No matter what, the finals don't start till next Thursday.
I would also add is like a little just like it would a little bonus opportunity.
Yeah.
Could Dallas win one more game?
Yeah, extend it over on that side a little bit.
Can you win one more? I don't think they have it.
Take a little tread off the tires out west.
One more game.
Can they? Yes. Will they tonight? You picking them to win?
No.
Luka is unbelievable.
Not even you can
finagle
that one.
He's great in elimination games, but no, the Warriors are better.
Last call is brought to you by Cars for Kids. The easy way to donate your car. Donate today and your car can be picked up tomorrow. Go to carsforkids.com or 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Stephen A. Smith made a pretty interesting claim about the connection between the Buffalo Bills and Donald Trump and who heard first about Donald Trump's run for the presidency.
In 2014, Donald Trump wanted to purchase the Buffalo Bills. And when he wanted to purchase the Buffalo Bills, this is before he ever decided to run for president, Donald Trump called yours truly. That would be me. And he said that he wanted to purchase the Buffalo Bills. And I'll never forget what he said to me. He said, if those owners screw me over, and I'm just using the FCC allowable version because he didn't say it like that, but I'm paraphrasing. He said, if they screw me over, he said, I'm going to show them. I'm going to get them all back. I'm going to run for president of the United States. That's what he said to me back in 2014.
That's just a weird logical leap. I mean, besides the fact that didn't happen, right? I mean, we all agree that
Stephen A. lied. I don't think Stephen A. lied about that.
His name was Brendan.
Guys, it's Donald Trump. Yes, I believe he did that.
Yes.
Absolutely.
My question is just seeing it. Like, what type of owner do you think he'd be? Think he'd be a good owner?
The counting is the counting.
You think, or he'd probably, would he be more Kraft?
He'd be very Jerry Jones.
Or, yeah, I was going to say
Jerry Jones.
Very hands-on.
Press conference after a game by himself. Radio hit by himself after the game.
Oh, yeah.
I would love it.
Basically, Fat Canada. That's what I've always called it.
No, I think that's exactly how it would
When's our president, our former president, back on Twitter? Let's go. Let's go, Elon. Let's get Donald Trump
soon.
Back on Twitter.
Twitter's
a little boring right now.
We'll look into it.
We need some more.
I don't understand why the retribution is becoming president. It's not like he became president and then he had the power to take whatever franchise he wanted over.
Donald Trump called yours truly.
Well, I mean,
that
you could
be me.
I'm just happy that you explained what yours truly meant.
You could actually also say that, you know, he did get his revenge. Like, that was all during the, you know, the kneeling part and the issues with the national anthem.
He went all in on those players.
He went all in on those players.
I really
and those,
don't
and he did single out the owners, did he not?
Yeah.
He was at like some rally in like Alabama.
Told them to toughen them up, basically. These owners, yeah.
Yeah. You guys aren't, you're too easy on them.
Get the president back on Twitter.
You know, there's going to be a strong Trump presence on Craigslist.
We call them sons of bitches.
By the way, Trump's reported offer was under $900 million. The Pagulas obviously won the bidding for $1.4 billion. So just a little bit short there,
Doc. It's only half a billion. No big deal.
All right. Well, ESPN legend Scott Van Pelt, a proud Marylander.
Mm-hmm.
It's from Brookville, Maryland.
Oh, really?
Maryland.
He never mentions that. Well.
Brookville, Maryland, right next to Laytonville, Maryland. That's where I'm from. He experienced some technical difficulties last night on SportsCenter when Al Horford joined the program.
16 for Al Horford. 5 boards. Tim Legler showed you that beautiful assist in the corner 3 to Tatum. Giving some love to the big fella. And he joins us now live on SportsCenter. Al, thanks so much for coming out of the locker room to say hello and joining us once again on the show. Your defense was suffocating, and that second half, knowing you had an opportunity, if you grabbed this victory, to head home with an opportunity to close things out. How does that really sharpen the focus and get you guys to buckle down in that final 24? Hello, Al.
Okay. And
I will we'll try to get Al's audio situated here. We'll be back to him just in just one moment.
So was Al talking and no one could hear, or did the screen go?
I was
to
not
black?
Watching.
He was just staring at the screen, staring at the camera, but
no audio.
Couldn't hear him.
Oh, no. Yeah.
They had a good producer like Garvin or Tyler, they could have figured that out.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Just take this one up. Red goes in the yellow, put it to switch
easy.
It all up.
Yeah.
Yeah, just fix it right away. Sure. We're back on the air.
Van Pelt, he handled that like a pro. Gave him a chance, you know, gave the chance for the audio
guy.
To be fixed.
Hello, Al.
Hello, Al.
Van Pelt was excellent on the PGA Championship last week. I'll say that for ESPN Plus.
He wasn't any better than Ryan saving your life. I would like to say, like,
you're going to thank Ryan for what he did today for you?
I absolutely am thanking Ryan. I also want to thank Christian because he killed
the
second moth. There was
the
a second
one.
Moth that emerged.
See, this is such crap. That's the only reason why. He just wanted to jump on my thank you.
That too.
It's so obvious.
We should share it.
We didn't talk about this today. We didn't talk about this, but somebody off the air said people. There's a generation of young people have not seen Goodfellas. Go watch Goodfellas
tonight.
Ray Liotta passed away at the age of 67. He's a tremendous actor. And if you've not seen Goodfellas, but I don't believe a lot of people have not in our audience, go watch Goodfellas tonight. Listen to the Red Sox.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a gangster.
Oh, that movie right there out of the gate.
Soundtrack.
Great job.
Slaps,
I almost feel like we need, you know, for Friday, for tomorrow, since we are going to have a, you know, getaway day Friday, I almost feel like we should have, like, best opening liners. Like, that's, I know it didn't open the show, but, like, that line right there, like, is fabulous.
It's a great line.
Or, you know, Shawshank Redemption, you know, a man that's known to find things from time to time. That's another good one.
We have a lot of stuff planned for tomorrow.
Right. Don't let you get away with
save something.
The war. Okay, you get with trying to get away with it.
It's all about me.
We'll be at Lord Hobo in the Seaport tomorrow. Mud at Night featuring Brian Barrett is coming up.